Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. The title for today's message is, Are You Ready for Christmas? The text is taken from today's Gospel reading, Matthew chapter 3. Let me read verses 1 to 3 again. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. The sermon outline is on your bulletin insert. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Christmas is just 3 weeks away. You may start to hear people ask you this question. Are you ready for Christmas? I would imagine that most of you by now are well on your way with preparation for holidays. Probably you are busy shopping, baking, or decorating. I saw a lot of church members last Friday came to church, decorate the church. Look at this Christmas tree. Is that beautiful? It takes a lot of preparation for Christmas. There are lists of grocery items to purchase. There are Christmas card address lists to review. And there are a lot of lists of presents to buy and wrap. Yes, we spend a lot of time, money, and energy on our preparation for Christmas. However, to be honest, many people who are so busy preparing for Christmas will never be ready because they forget the most important preparation, prepare our hearts as we look back to Bethlehem's manger to see that baby. God himself comes in human flesh as our Savior from sin. In today's Gospel, John the Baptist is standing in the wilderness urging the people of his day and also us. Prepare the way of the Lord. How? John says, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We know John as the forerunner of Christ as he came to prepare for Jesus' coming. John is fulfilling prophecy. He is the one spoke of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John's message is simple and direct. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you have done. Everyone is sinful. Everyone needs to repent and needs God's forgiveness. God's word tells us what is right and what is wrong. God's word shows us that we are sinners. For by nature, our hearts are cold and against the will of God. Through the law, God confronts us with our sin and his just judgment. Through the gospel, God tells us of his grace and love for sinners and his promises, his children. Think about it. What was the first message Jesus delivered at the start of his public ministry? He called people to repent and believe. Jesus said, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." The biblical word repent literally means to change one's mind, to change the direction one is going. When we repent of sin, we are saying, "I thought it was a good thing, but now I know it's not." That's a repent mind change that happens only by God's grace. Think of a husband and wife in a car on their long trip. Hints sort of remind me of our family trip from Ontario to BC when we moved here. The wife tells her husband to turn right at the next junction, and by mistake or on purpose, because he thinks he might wrong, and he turns left. And after he realizes he make mistake, he may say to his wife, "Sorry, love, I went the wrong way." But if that is all he does, it isn't enough. His saying sorry is not getting them any closer to where they want to be. It isn't even stopping them from going further out of their way. To get where they want to be, he needs to stop the car, turn it around, and go back onto the correct road that his wife told him at first place. That is repentance. Repentance is not just feel a wrong or sorry, but turning around to right direction. Moreover, when John calls the people to repent, he is calling them to repent of all of their misconceptions and wrong ideas about the Savior. If they have the wrong idea of who the Savior is supposed to be, then they are not going to like the Savior for who he truly is. If they are looking for wrong things in a Messiah, then they are not going to recognize him when he arrives. Remember, John the Baptist is called by God to prepare the way of the Lord. He does this in two ways. First, he prepared the people by teaching them what their sin looks like, so that they see their need for the Savior. And then, he prepares them by teaching them who the Savior is and what he will do. Pharisees and Sadducees both come to John the Baptist, and each has their own idea of what the Savior will be like. They don't think of the promised Messiah as the Savior from sin, but rather a Savior from external political oppression, who will return the Jews to their former power, who will defeat their Roman enemies. The Pharisees believe that they are saved by keeping rules and doing works. They are looking for a Messiah to lead them in the rule-keeping, to model holiness and how to be saved through good works. The Sadducees deny the resurrection of the dead. Their Messiah makes life in this world better and more carefree, because they believe this world is all there is. Both groups believe that God must save them because of who they are, descendants of Abraham. John the Baptist calls these people brood of vipers, which means sons of snakes, because they are not only placed themselves in spiritual danger, but what is worse, they are taking others from them, with them. My friends, salvation is not what we do or a matter of ethnic background or any other external matter. Our membership in a church does not save us. Burial in a Christian cemetery does not save us. Belonging to one particular family as opposed to another does not save us. Rather, salvation is only through faith in Jesus Christ. Faith which receives God's gracious gift of forgiveness, righteousness, and eternal life. It is a matter of humble repentance and a personal relationship with God because of Jesus. For the Christian, it's all about Jesus, about the cross. Everything we hold dear is connected to what Jesus did for us on the cross, as he paid for the sins of the world. Because of Jesus' sacrifice for us on the cross, God the Father no longer condemns us for our sin. He only sees us covered in the perfect righteousness of Jesus. St. Paul says in this way in Romans chapter 8, there is now no longer any condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. This time of the year, of course, we are all thinking about Christmas, about Jesus' birth. But the very reason for Christmas is the cross. The very reason for Christmas is the cross. Jesus was born so that he could lay down his life. Jesus was born so that he might be our Savior. Christmas without the cross means little or nothing. Christmas is ahead. The Savior is coming. Are you ready? Advent is the time to wake up, like Pastor warned us last week. Are you awake, Pastor? Are you awake, congregation? Dear fellow redeemed, have you ever thought like a Pharisee that you are saved, at least in part, for what you have done good, or for who you are, for working hard and keep the law, for making the right decision to follow Jesus? Then you are saying, this Savior, Jesus, didn't quite do enough by his death to save me. I have to help him out in his plan of salvation by doing my part. If you believe that your work contributes to your salvation, you are not going to listen to your Lord, who declares he saves you by his grace alone. Ephesians chapter 2:8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. In this time of preparation, the Lord says to you, repent. Have you ever thought like a Sadducee, that all you want out of Jesus is help for this life? You are looking for a Savior who can keep you wealthy, and out of trouble, who can cure your illness, you really do not care about the final judgment, resurrection of the dead, heaven or hell, or eternal life. You want a savior who's going to show results here and now. This is the sort of savior that you will find on some TV channels or popular devotional writings, or even in some churches. These thoughts will lead you to pass right by Jesus, who died on the cross to make you right with God. He did not die on the cross to make you popular or successful in this world. In fact, Jesus warns that the world will persecute the church. He tells us he disciplines his children and even uses affliction and weakness to strengthen our faith. If you are looking for a savior to make this world a paradise, you will pass right by Jesus. He came to deliver you from this world to everlasting paradise. In this time of preparation, the Lord says to you, repent. Repent, because there is still time. In other words, repent, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We look forward to Christmas in just a couple of weeks, when we marvel again at how the King of the universe was born as a tiny baby in Bethlehem. Imagine young Mary, a new mother, lifting back the blanket and look into the face of her newborn son, looking into the face of God's Son, looking into the face of the Savior of the world. But dear friends, the King is just as near to you as he was to Mary on the day of his birth. Today, as we join Mary in lifting back the blanket, as we hear his holy word and share his holy body and blood, we today are looking into the face of Mary's son, looking into the face of God's son, looking into the face of the Savior of this world. At this very altar today, he comes and fills you with his holy body and blood to forgive your sins, to strengthen your faith, to prepare you for the everlasting life. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The Savior is here to forgive you your sin. Get ready in the name of Jesus. Amen.